I went to college in Washington, D.C. at the Catholic University of America, and I was very excited to study in our nation's capital. However, I didn't know a single soul there, and on top of that, I was a very shy guy. The first day, of course, they have orientation, and I met someone whom I never met would become one of my very good friends, and we keep in touch to this day. His name is Muhammad Ali. Yes, no kidding. Muhammad Ali Al-Hassawi from Saudi Arabia. He was a little older and was sent by his company, Aramco, to study engineering at Catholic U. And he lived off campus in an apartment. And he spoke perfect English. His faith is Islam. And he was very faithful in living his faith, praying 5 times a day. One of the most kindest human beings I have ever met. And inspired by our friendship with Muhammad, as juniors in college, two of my roommates, Americans, and I took a course offered by a Catholic priest on their faith, Islam. And knowing him and learning about the Muslim faith has made me a better Catholic. This was what I would call interfaith dialogue at a very low level. And as I look back, for me, it was putting Christ's commandment to love our neighbor as yourself into practice. Muhammad was my neighbor by virtue of being classmates at the same school. I did not judge him by the color of his skin, nor by finding out that he practiced a different religion than mine, nor that he came from a different country. I welcomed Muhammad as Mary, Joseph, and Jesus welcomed the Magi from the East. These Magi are said to have practiced Zoroastrianism, founded in the eastern part of ancient Greater Iran. It is a religion and philosophy based on the teachings of Zoroaster, or also named Zarathustra, and was formerly among the world's largest religions. Our Catholic tradition states that there were 3 Magi because there were 3 gifts. We say that each one of them had a gift to give the baby Jesus, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. However, Eastern Christians state that there were 12 of them. In reality, we don't know. Scripture does not say. In many ways, we have tamed this story with talks of kings, crowns, and camels. We often forget it's about real people seeking someone, seeking the light. And we all hope to find that same light. If one word were used to sum up this gospel, I would say it would have to be inclusiveness. In fact, the whole Christmas story is about inclusiveness. Read your Bible. It's there all over the place. And the master of inclusiveness is Jesus himself. You see, the first to come to the stable in Bethlehem are shepherds, but not as we see them in the manger scene or depicted on Christmas cards, but in reality, back in the day, real shepherds were considered crooks. They were looked down upon and avoided by decent folk. And yet, these are the people that were chosen to be the first to hear that God has touched the earth. Then, today, we hear and focus on the Magi, not even Jewish, pagans. And a Jew at that time could not even let them into his house because they were ritually impure. They were not to be trusted or encouraged to stay around. So as it turns out, these 2 groups who were invited and guided to the babe were the most despised and most rejected. But don't we see that in the rest of the gospel? Where do we find the adult Jesus most of the time? Who is he with? Besides his disciples, a lot of times he's with the despised and the discarded. And that is why our church needs to continue to be attentive to people whose lives have been fractured, people who turn away from our church because they don't feel welcome, people who are told that their lives are disoriented. And this tells us that if we ever feel rejected, we belong close to Jesus. If we have sinned or separated ourselves from God, we belong close to Jesus. If we have somehow not measured up to other people's expectations and standards, we belong close to Jesus. It is interesting that when the Magi found the Lord, they entered the house, fell on their knees, and offered him their gifts: gold for a king, frankincense for God, and myrrh for someone who was going to die. Their gifts indicated a level of belief about who Jesus was. I began preaching, sharing my personal experience of befriending a Muslim. On this solemnity of the Epiphany, in which we can say that our Christian faith is in contact with people of other faith beliefs, I want to share with you officially what the Church teaches from a 1965 declaration on the relation of the Church with non-Christian religions, called Nostra Aetate in Latin. The Church exhorts her children that through dialogue and collaboration with the followers of other religions, carried out with prudence and love, and in witness to the Christian faith and life, they recognize, preserve, and promote the good things, spiritual and moral, as well as the socio-cultural values found among these people. In regards to the Muslims, the Church regards with esteem the Muslims. These people adore the one God, living and subsisting in himself, merciful and all-powerful, the creator of heaven and earth, who has spoken to men. They take pains to submit wholeheartedly to even his inscrutable decrees, just as Abraham, with whom the faith of Islam takes pleasure in linking itself, submitted to God. Though they do not know Jesus as God, they revere him as a prophet. Muslims also honor Mary, his virgin mother. At times, they even call on her with devotion. In addition, they await the day of judgment when God will reward all those who have arisen. Finally, they value the moral life and worship God, especially through prayer, almsgiving, and fasting. This sacred synod, talking about the Second Vatican Council, urges all to forget the past and to work sincerely for mutual understanding and to preserve as well as to promote together for the benefit of all humankind, social justice and moral welfare, as well as peace and freedom.